So, a couple of things. This past week was Reverend Ito's 85th birthday. So, I sent him a card from all of us. Told him how much we appreciated his 85 years on this earth with us. And the second thing, I was thinking back to how he gives his talks. And it's almost like he presents one little idea and then drops it for us to pick up and, you know, turn around in our head and think about or not think about. And I was listening to Bullfrog, who was quite active this morning, but he does the same thing. He just puts something out there, and then he shuts up for a while. So I'm going to try to be a little bit more like Reverend Ito and the Bullfrog and not try to say so much. I'm just going to tell part of what I was going to talk about, and that is about Shakyamuni, Buddha, the one that we identify with as the Buddha, although if you really look at Buddhist history, there's, you know, supposedly thousands and millions and lots of Buddhas, and that we are all, in a sense, Buddha. But Shakyamuni Buddha was, and you may know this story, and I'm going to really abbreviate it because there's also, there's a lot of details, but then a lot of probably mythology, you know, that it varies according to what the emphasis is being told about. But he lived in India. He was born in India, and he was of the Shaka family, which I guess is kind of like a clan name. And his father was very, very rich, and had a beautiful palace and grounds and lots of acreage and things like that. And so when Shakyamuni Buddha, when Shakyamuni was born, he was prophesized to be either a great king, and to be honest, I don't remember what the other part of the prophecy was, but there was it was an either or. And so his father thought, well, I don't want the second thing to happen, so I'm going to really protect my son and show him how to be king and keep him away from all sadness or unpleasantness or things that would be upsetting to him. And so that was how he was raised, in really this very luxurious, opulent lifestyle. And then when he was a young man, and I always think this is interesting because I think at least having three sons, it's when they become about 18, 19, 20, 22, they start looking at, like, well, who am I, you know, other than my mother and father's son and, you know, live in this neighborhood. And so in my own imagination, I think, well, maybe Shakyamuni did that. You know, maybe he thought, you know, this little bit of dissatisfaction with what was, and so he decided to go outside of the gates, and as the driver was taking him around, what he saw was an old man, you know, was just old, and he was walking along maybe with a cane or a stick or something, kind of like Reverend Ito does, and, you know, kind of slowly, and carries his pack. And he had never seen that before, so he, you know, he was just kind of like, well, what's this? And why isn't everybody young and happy? And because I don't know what was going on inside the gates, because there must have been something going on. But anyway, so then they came upon a man or a woman who was sick and in great misery. And let's imagine, you know, the family was around feeling badly and, you know, trying to fix and help this man out, and or a woman. And then they went on, and then the third one, then he saw a corpse by the side of the road, a person who had died. And, you know, again, I don't know whether the story could change, whether it was a child or an old person, or maybe even an animal or something, but Anyway, these are things that he, for whatever reason, had never seen. And maybe they had been there within the gates, but he had not seen them. And this is where I'm going to stop with the story, because he decided at that point that he wanted to know more about that, to investigate it. And it's not reported as like, okay, I want to fix that. You know, I want to fix it so people don't die, or that people don't get sick, don't get old. But what do each of those things cause? What's kind of the contrail that gets left when these things happen? And I don't know, there was something about that part of the story that he didn't try to fix death. You know, and so many of us, you know, we see something and we try to fix it, you know. And, you know, sometimes we can do something, but eventually we really cannot stop sickness, aging, or death. So we might put a little delay or a little barrier or a few more years of good health or something. But so I think he realized that that was just reality, that he couldn't change that in the human realm. But what he would look at was what caused, you know, the reactions in people around him and maybe in people who are dying, sick. What was it that brought up that kind of reaction for him, but also for them, for the family members and that sort of thing? So that's where I want to stop with that, and just to bring it back into Zazen, because I think what I do say, I try to bring it to why do we sit, you know, because that's what we do here. And I think Zazen is a way of quieting our minds in a way, and learning to keep them more quiet so that we can really see kind of the fullness of what's out there. So not just the immediate effect, but what transpires because of that. And so it's such a gift to be able to have some periods of silence in our life, because it is just, we just don't have it. And oftentimes we just don't take it. You know, we might, but then we think, oh, okay, well, I shouldn't go over there and just sit for a minute. I need to get this done, you know, and then I'll go sit, you know. And so I hope maybe that over the next week or so, or whenever we see each other again, that you will just take a moment just to kind of sit. And it might be on your couch, it might be on a chair in the garden, might be on a toilet, I don't know, but just sit and just kind of realize you don't have to do anything else at that particular time. And just, I think that is such a gift to us. And I think, you know, what Shakyamuni did later with his meditation and such was he saw the power of sitting, and he saw the power of the many days of meditation that he did. And that's where he realized what we could do to help decrease some of the contrails of suffering that are always around us. So those are the thoughts for the day. And anybody else have other thoughts that you'd be willing to share? Or something that transpired last week? Or I bet you if you really thought about it, when you walk out of here, you're going to say, oh yeah, I remember that. Now I remember. Now that I'm off the spot, I remember. So anyway, thank you all for being here and keeping Reverend Ito's strong faith and practice going. And again, just, you know, he said, do Zazen, no matter what religion, background, culture, sex, whatever. Just bring yourself here and learn about who you are, which is quite wonderful people.